I want you to take your Bibles again. I want you to open them back up to 2 Kings. I want to read a few verses from chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. Here's what the Bible says. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. I want to speak on the subject tonight, the double portion. The double portion. Elisha was Elijah's successor. Elijah got depressed after he was up on the Mount of Carmel and after he called down fire from heaven. He didn't get depressed from that, but he got depressed when Jezebel sent word after he had killed all the prophets of Baal that she was going to do the same thing to him. And so he ran with his servant, left his servant, then went further into the wilderness and just sort of had a pity party. And God came to him and said, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And Elijah said, "God, I'm the only one left. Only one left in the whole nation, the whole world that's serving you. Everybody else has bowed their knees to Baal." And God said to Elijah, "That's not true. I still have 7,000 people that are faithful to me that haven't worshiped Baal. But I tell you what, I want you to go do some things. I want you to go anoint Hazael, him as king of Syria. I want you to anoint Jehu as king of Israel. And then I want you to go anoint Elisha to be the prophet in your place." And you remember when Elijah went and called Elisha, what Elisha did. He was plowing, and he took his farming instruments and used them for wood. He took the animals that he was plowing with, burned them as a sacrifice, went back and told his mom and dad goodbye, and never looked back, went and served God. You know, when God calls us, that's exactly what we ought to do. We ought to burn all our bridges. We ought not to leave anything that we can go back to. We ought to go say like Elisha did, "I'm all yours, God. I'm not leaving anything to go back to my old way of life." He burned it up, said goodbye to mom and dad, and went and served Elijah faithfully. Well, Elijah's about to go into heaven. He's about to leave. And they're talking, and we read it, and Elijah said to his understudy, "Well, what do you want me to do for you before I leave?" And Elisha said, "I'd like a double portion of your spirit. I know the Spirit of God has rested upon you. I know that Spirit has allowed you to do some marvelous and wonderful things in God's name. I'd like a double portion of that Spirit on me." And Elijah said, "Man, that's a hard thing you're asking. But I tell you what, if you're around and if you see me go, God will give it to you. He'll give you that double portion." So they went to that place where God was going to take Elijah up into heaven. That fiery chariot and horses split him up. And then in a whirlwind, Elijah was caught up into heaven. And Elisha saw it all. And God gave him a double portion. I've gone through the Bible a couple different times. And I've counted the number of miracles that Elijah worked. And counted the number of miracles that Elisha worked. I read that Elijah, he prayed and there was 3 years of drought. I read that he was fed by the ravens, by the brook Cherub. I read that when he went and lived with that widow, the meal and the oil wasted not. I read where he raised that widow's son. I read where he called down fire from heaven. I read where he called down fire from heaven to destroy a captain in his 50. And then a second time, called down fire from heaven to destroy a captain in his 50. And then right as before he went up to heaven, he took his own robe, smote the river, and the waters departed hither and thither, and the two of them walked over in dry ground. I read 8 different things in the Bible that Elijah did that I would consider a miracle. Power of God working through him. Well, I read about Elijah. I read where he smote the same waters, and they parted, and he went over on dry ground. I read where he healed water that was cursed and could not be drunk. I read where he called some she-bears out of the woods and ate up some kids that were making fun of his bald head. Be careful what you say about bald people. I read where he brought water into the valley for the kings that were going to fight. I read, and we read it in 2 Kings chapter 4, where the widow's oil was multiplied, where a barren woman was given a son. A son was raised to life, where he cast meal into a pot and cured poisoned food. He multiplied food that should have fed 20 to feed 100, where he cured Naaman's leprosy, and his servant got that leprosy. Where he made an iron axe head float, where his servant, he prayed, and God opened his eyes and let him see angels camped around him to protect him, where his soldiers were struck blind, where a Syrian siege was broken, where a young man who didn't believe that siege was going to be broken, Elisha foretold that he was going to be killed, trampled by the crowd. And I read where a dead man cast into his tomb after he was buried was brought back to life. I count them up, and the way I count, there's 17. You see, God always gives us more than we ask for. He asked for a double portion. God said, I'll give you more than that. I'll let you do not only twice as many as Elijah, but one more on top of that, even after you're dead, to show you that I can still work miracles. So we read this story from 2 Kings chapter 2. Elisha is starting out on his ministry. His master, his mentor, has gone to heaven. He picks up Elijah's mantle. He comes back to the Jordan River and strikes the water and asks the question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Is he still present? Is he still going to work? I think that question is still relevant today. I think we as Christians need to ask the question, where is the Lord God of Elijah that sent fire from heaven to burn up the sacrifice on Mount Carmel? Where is the Lord God of Elisha that did all these miracles that he worked when he was here on earth? Where is the Lord God of Joshua that made the sun stand still for a whole day? Where is the Lord God of Daniel that closed the lion's mouth and caused no harm to come to that one that was faithful to God? Where is the Lord God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that went with them into the fiery furnace? And they were not only not burned, but their clothes did not smell of smoke. Where is the Lord God of the Apostle Peter, who healed that lame man by the pool of Bethesda, who had been lame for 38 years? Where is the Lord God of the Apostle Paul, who brought that boy that fell out of that window when he was preaching one night, a long time, brought him back to life? Where is the Lord God of all these men that worked power through them and showed that he was a mighty God? Has he changed? I don't think so. I mean, has God changed? I mean, is he a different God to us than he was to Elijah and Elisha and to Daniel and to Joshua and to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I mean, is he still in the double portion business? I mean, would he still answer a prayer like Elisha prayed when he said, I'd like a double portion. I'd like to see God work through me twice as much as he did through Elijah. I want to tell you tonight, I don't think God's changed. I don't think he's changed one bit. He said in the book of Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. It's said about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 13, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I think he is still in the double portion business. And I think that we can see, and by the way, let me ask the question, do we need a double portion today? I mean, do we live in a world that we need to see the power of God and that power displayed in a mighty way? Rhetorical question. The answer is yes. We need to let God do what only God can do so that people can see that He is God. And we need double portions today. And so I'm going to look at this lady that we read about. First of all, she got a double portion. She got a double portion. Here, let me just tell you her story. Ahab was the king. Ahab was going to kill all the sons of the prophets. So this lady and her husband, who I believe was named Obadiah, took 100 of them and hid them 50 in one cave and 50 in another place and fed them bread and water all through the famine that existed for the 3.5 years that it didn't rain. When the famine was over, her husband died, and she had some debts from feeding all these preachers that were hiding in this cave. Some of you that have fed preachers know that they can eat. Amen, Frida. And so she had some debts. And as was the custom back in that day, her debtors were coming, the people she owed money to, said, "We'll just take your sons. We'll put your sons to work, and they can pay off your debt." And so she went to Elisha. She went to the man of God. And she says, "I got a problem. They're going to take my sons." And she said, "You know that my husband and I, we tried to serve the Lord. The reason we're in trouble is because we were serving the Lord." And again, we read the story. This lady saw a miracle. Elisha said, "Well, what do you got in the house?" "Yeah, I don't have nothing but a little pot of oil." He said, "Well, go borrow some empty pots." And I can just see what went through her mind. "Well, why would I do that? I don't have nothing to put in them." She said, "No, just trust God. Go borrow some empty pots. And when you get all the empty pots you can, borrow them from your neighbors, anybody to lend them to. And then you and your sons go into the house. And then take that little pot of oil and start to fill up those pots." And I'm sure she looked at him and said, "Well, you're crazy. I mean, all I got is a little pot of oil. What do you want me to do to pour it in another pot? It just doesn't make any sense." Elijah said, "Just trust me. Just do what I said." So she goes borrow pots. I've often wondered, how many pots did she borrow? Did she get every empty pot in the neighborhood, or did she borrow just a few? I sort of think she filled up her whole house with pots. I just wondered if I'd have enough faith to do that, if I got the same instructions, if I would go out, and I can see going to some of my neighbors and say, "Hey, I'd like to borrow your pots." "Why?" "Well, I mean, they look at you, what? You're crazy. You are crazy." But she did it. She came with her two sons, all the pots in the house. She said, "Okay, let's do it. I don't understand why we're doing this, but let's go ahead and do it. So give me a pot." So one of her sons gave her a pot. She started to pour the oil. "This pot's bigger than this pot, but look at that. It's full. Oh, there's still oil. Give me another pot." She did it again, and she did it again. She did it again. She said, "Give me another pot. There ain't no more, Ma. They're all gone." And the Bible says the oil stayed. She filled up every pot that she borrowed. God rewarded her faith to the number of pots that she had faith to borrow. He filled up every single one. She went back to Elisha. She said, "What should I do now?" He said, "Well, go sell the oil. Pay your debt. You and your son." And that's the way God works. Not only did he pay her debt, he gave her enough to live on the rest of her life with her two sons. She got a double portion. Her debt was paid and she had her living. She got a double portion. How did she get it? Now, that's my introduction. Here's my sermon. I only got 5 minutes left. I got 3 points. So listen quickly tonight. All right? How did she get it? How'd she get this double portion? Number one, she asked for it. She asked for it. She went to Elisha and said, "I got a problem. You got to help me. Only God can help me." You know why we don't see double portions today? We don't ask for them. The book of James says, "Ye have not because ye ask not." The Bible teaches over and over and over again that God will do the things that we ask for in faith. Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it shall be given you." Matthew 7:8, "For everyone that asketh receiveth." John 16:24, "Ask and ye shall receive." Matthew 7:11, "How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him." Matthew 21:22, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." John 14:14, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I just scratched the surface. There's hundreds of verses in the Bible that promises us that God will answer prayer, that God will give us what we ask for if we ask it in His will. Do you want a double portion? Do you need a miracle? Do you need to see the power of God? Ask for it. Ask for it. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus tells a story about a man that was asleep. He had all his kids. Back in those days, they slept on the floor. He had all his kids spread out around him. They were asleep. A knock comes on the door. It's one of his neighbors. Wants to borrow something. He's got a guest that has just come. He doesn't have anything in the house to feed him. He wants to borrow some bread. He knocks on the door. Said, "I need neighbor, I need to borrow some bread." His neighbor, who was asleep with his kids, "Hey, I'm in bed already. I got all my kids. They're asleep. Don't wake up these kids. They're hard enough to get to sleep." Kids weren't any different back then than they are now. "Don't wake up these kids. Go away. Come back tomorrow." And the man at the door says, "I'm not going away until you give me some bread." That's how God wants us to ask. We ask one time, say, "Well, God must not want me to have it." How do you know? That word ask is a continual asking. It's a continual being in prayer. Listen, God will answer that kind of prayer. And we don't see double portions today because we don't have enough faith to ask for it. Second reason she saw a double portion is she said, in answer to Elisha's questions, what do you got in the house? She said, "I don't have nothing. Oh, I got a little pot of oil. That's not much. Other than that, I don't have anything in the house." You know why we don't see a double portion today? We're too full of ourselves. We're too full of the world. It goes along with that thing I put in the bulletin. Sometimes you probably don't think that I think about what I'm going to preach about and what I put in the bulletin and what the Sunday school lesson's about, but I spend a lot of time trying to get all that together to make a point for the day. That little article says that we're too full of ourselves. God can't fill us up because there's no empty spots. If Elisha would have asked us that question, "What do you got in the house when you got this problem?" We said, "Well, I got a little bit of money in the savings account, and I got food in the cupboard, and the car's filled up with gas, and I got both of my credit cards that I could take to the max." We got all the answers. If we got all the answers, God doesn't have to help us. He just wants when we got all the answers, God just steps back and says, "Hey, if you got it figured out, go ahead. If you got the answer to your problem, I'll figure it out. You don't need me." God works when people admit that they need Him. God works when people say, in answer to the question, "What do you got in the house?" "I don't got nothing. I have nothing. God, to use to solve this problem, I have nothing." Brother Clint and I were talking before Sunday school this morning. We were talking about the lesson he's going to teach about farming. And he was telling me, he said, "Now, preacher, you have the wrong idea." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I've heard you say that if you want a good potato crop, plant big potatoes. That's the wrong thing to do. Plant potatoes that are about this big, Brother Clint, about this big. They're the ones that really give you a good crop." And that's true. God doesn't use people that think they can do it. God uses people that think they can't. That's why He used Moses and his rod to lead His people out of Egypt. That's why He used Samson with a jawbone of an ass to kill 1,000 Philistines. That's why He used Gideon and 300 men to defeat the Midianites. That's why He used David and a sling to kill the giant. That's why He used that little boy with his 2 fish and his 5 pieces of bread to feed that crowd of 5,000 men plus all the women and children that were there. They didn't think they could do nothing. And a lot of times we don't see the power of God as it works because we think we can. I'll go back to what I said last week, Brother Leroy. We can't, but God can. I can't, but God can. Paul said, "God, I could be a better preacher. I could be a better teacher if you just take this thorn in the flesh away from me." He said, "I asked God 3 times. And God said, "I'm not. You're going to have to keep it because my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then am I strong." You want to see God's power? Tell him you don't have nothing. Tell him you have no power of your own. Tell him that if he don't do it, it will not get done. I mean, I wish I could have been there. When that lady says, "Give me, son, give me another pot. Give me another. Man, this is going good. We're filling these pots up. Give me another one." And he said, "Mom, there ain't no more. Every one we've borrowed, God has filled up. And God will do the same thing for us." Third reason she saw the power of God is she had confidence that God was going to do something. Now, I don't think she understood what God was going to do. But I think she borrowed more than one pot. I think she borrowed more than two. I think she filled up her whole house. Because she didn't know what God was going to do, but she had enough faith to say, God's going to do something, and I don't want to be the one to limit him. And again, every pot she borrowed, every single one, it doesn't matter how big it was, it doesn't matter how small it was, every single one that she borrowed, God filled up. She had confidence that God was going to do something. You know why we don't see double portions? Because we don't believe God's going to do anything. I mean, we pray for rain. We don't even bring an umbrella. We pray to have a big crowd. Until the crowd gets here, we don't set up extra chairs. We pray to have five people come with us to Sunday school or church, and we only ask two. Now, what kind of faith is that? How did you get saved? When you got saved, when you asked Jesus to save you, when you asked him to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all your sins and to make you right with God, how did you get saved? You got saved by putting your confidence in Jesus Christ. You thought when you asked him, he was going to save you. If you didn't think he was, you wouldn't ask him. But you ask him because you knew he was going to keep his word and he was going to work in your life and he was going to forgive your sins and make you right with God. And in that confident faith, you ask Jesus to save you. Well, if we want to see a double portion, we got to have that same kind of faith. That same kind of confidence that what we ask God to do, he is going to do. And he will do it. So, you want a double portion? Ask for it. Ask for it. Admit your weakness. And then put your confidence in God. I mean, I would have liked to have been there. I would have liked to have seen that family, that mother and her two boys. I don't know if they borrowed a wagon or how they did it, if they carried it a pot at a time, but I'd love to have seen them take those pots out into the marketplace and sell them one by one. One by one. I would have loved to have been there when she took the money and went to the people she owed money to and said, "You can't have my boys. Here's what I owe you." I would have loved to have been there when she sat down with her boys and said, "Sons, we don't have to worry about money. God's taking care of us. He's taking care of us. He'll do the same thing for us. If we ask him. If we ask him." Let's want a double portion. We need it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the examples of people that you put in the Bible that needed things from you so that they can be an example to us. And Father, we need a double portion today. Our world needs to see that you're still God and you're still on your throne. You haven't changed one iota. You're still as powerful today as you were when you sent fire from heaven for Elijah, or when you closed the lion's mouth, or when you caused the fire not to affect Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You haven't changed. And I pray, Father, we'd be a people of faith. A people that would pray in faith, a people that would borrow pots in faith, a people that would put their confidence in you. I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray, Father, you'd help them put their confidence in your Son, that he would do exactly what he promises to do if we come to him and ask, that he would save us from the penalty of our sin and make us right with you. I pray for the Christians that are here. Again, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to desire and pray for that life that you want us to have in Jesus Christ. So I pray you bless this invitation. Help us to be obedient as the Holy Spirit speaks. For it's in his name I pray. Amen.